My name is Steve Tu. I'm the pastor here at Good Shepherd Community Church, and I want to just welcome you on behalf of Rob and Melissa and our congregation. If you're here in this space for the first time, if you're not a part of the Good Shepherd congregation, welcome. We're going to, in a moment, what we're going to do is we're going to hear from three different responses to key chapters of this terrific book that Rob has written for the life of the world. There are three reflections from three individuals. I will make introductions at the appropriate points. Rob is going to respond to those responses, and then we will wrap up and invite you to stay afterwards. Before my family and I moved back to Toronto to pastor here at Good Shepherd, we lived in Vancouver, and one of the last things I got to do there was spend some time with one of my favorite novelists, Marilynne Robinson. And one of the things I wanted to ask her was, what kind of fiction she reads? Who are some of the authors that she enjoys? Trying to add some names and books to my metaphorical bedside table. I don't have an actual bedside table. It sort of just goes on the floor. And she surprised me. She said she doesn't read fiction anymore. She says she reads theology. And she finds all the sustenance and the creative sort of energy that she needs for her own fiction writing to come from theology. And one of the names of the theologians she reads was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And by this time, I knew I was coming to Good Shepherd. I had met Rob, and I knew what his doctoral work was on. So I was really excited, and sort of my ears perked up and tried to get as much from her as I could, not knowing I'd have to do this today. But Rob has written just this fantastic and accessible from the parts of it that I've been able to read, really accessible for the non-scholar, this treatment based on his dissertation of the theologies of both Bonhoeffer and Stanley Hauerwas. So I'm really excited to hear the responses today and then to hear from Rob. So without further ado, we're going to hear first from David Schuchart. He's a former member of Good Shepherd. He's not here. He is a pastor right now, lead pastor of Northview Community Church, a Free Methodist congregation in Regina. He's a graduate of Tyndale Seminary, and so he appears here on video.
Good evening. My name is David Schuchart, and I've been a friend of Rob's for quite some time now. Rob, congratulations on your new book, and I'm so glad to be able to talk about your chapter on Christology. In 1995, I came to Christ in July, and in September, I began attending Ontario Bible College, studying to become a pastor. During that time, I took a course on Christian life and discipleship, where our professor started out the class by saying, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book Discipleship, says that when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Of course, being a reader, I went to the bookstore and picked up the book and began to read that book on discipleship. Bonhoeffer had a voice and spoke about Christianity in a way that I hadn't encountered before, but it had a certain authenticity that just spoke to me and has had me chewing on his ideas, on his concepts for many years, particularly around cheap grace versus expensive grace. Seemed to me that Bonhoeffer was speaking right into my life and right into the contemporary situation that I had found myself in as I entered the Christian world. In 2005, I began to get to know an intern at Good Shepherd Community Church named Rob Dean. He later became one of my pastors. He's become my friend, and really he's become a teacher of mine, even though he wasn't a teacher in the program that I attended. Over these years, Rob has helped to take me deeper into Dietrich Bonhoeffer, as well as introduce me to Stanley Hauerwas, another voice that articulates a vision of Christianity in a way that I just found authentic and gripping. These three, Bonhoeffer, Hauerwas, and Dean, have been teaching me in an ongoing way the centrality of Christ for the Christian vision in the church today. How Jesus should be at the center of all things, not just in name, but in actuality. And they have shown again and again what that means if Christ is the center of our lives, of our worship, of our church. And so I'm honored to have been invited to read Rob's thesis over the years as he's been developing it, to be given the opportunity to give comments as he goes, and now to be able to give a bit of a summary on what I've read and understood Rob to be saying in this chapter and over the years of our friendship. So for me, there's some particular important points that come to the fore. In my own ministry here at Northview Community Church, I've been looking at three main pillars to our life: community, discipleship, and mission. And so it's probably no surprise that these would be the three areas that really stand out most to me in this chapter. And I would guess that these are three pillars come out of the work that Rob has been doing with Bonhoeffer and Hauerwas, and has helped to shape my own vision for church ministry. So just a few things that I'm going to pull out of the chapter. Rob does a really good job of summarizing the Christology chapter at the under the rubric of Jesus is Lord, and emphasizing those three different words as a way to bring together Bonhoeffer and Hauerwas. I'm going to do it a little differently rather than just re-articulating what he's already said. So, of course, I recommend the full chapter as well as the full book. But for our purposes tonight, I'm just going to highlight a few key thoughts. So the very first thing that stands out about both Bonhoeffer and Hauerwas in Rob's book is that the faith community is a necessary element for actually doing Christology. We need the faith community to actually know who Jesus is, and that really stands out different from the way we tend to read Jesus and the way theologians tend to have done theology up to this point. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, for him, the only appropriate Christological question is who, Rob points out, rather than how or that. How is it that Christ and his two natures can be together is an inappropriate question. Rather, who is this one that is presented to us? And because that is the question for Bonhoeffer, who versus how or that, it means that the church is essential for Christology to be done, to answer that question, to begin to address that question, because the question who can only be asked within the context of where the other, that is Christ, has already revealed himself. That means that Christ has to have priorly revealed himself, and he does that to the church. And so before we can actually ask the question who, we have to recognize that Christ has revealed himself to us as a people, the church, and that he in fact gives us that question of who. So church becomes necessary in order to actually begin to do the work of Christology. For Stanley Hauerwas, it's because Jesus is Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he is the ultimate truth of human existence and all of creation. So for Hauerwas, this means that Jesus is the necessary foundation for all theology, including Christology, as well as all of creation. He's the ultimate truth of the human existence. And because of this, he's the foundation for theology, which means that Christology doesn't have a theological foundation. Jesus is the foundation that all theology is done on, which means that the theology of Christ is taken by faith. It's not the foundation. It's the light by which we read all other theology. And so Christology is really born out of the church's faith It's confession that Jesus is in fact Lord. Well, that has some pretty important implications for the church in our own day, doesn't it? Today, the church has actually become an activity. We use language of going to church, church being a building on the corner, as opposed to a collection, a people of God. What this tends to do then is that church becomes this secondary thing, where these desperate individuals that simply gather together in a volunteer way on a particular time. We stand shoulder to shoulder, looking in the same direction, doing the same thing at the same time, but we've failed to be the kind of community that we need to be in order to discern who Jesus is and answer that Christological question. And in a lot of ways, our church today has rejected the work of theology. We have really embraced the modern project where we've divided the work up, and theology becomes the work of the academy to be done by scholars and academics. And we really do not want that theology to come too much into our church experience. And that's exactly the kind of language that we use. We prefer experience over theological reflection. But if Hauerwas and Bonhoeffer and Dean are right, that the faith community is necessary to do the work of theology, then that really pushes us towards understanding the importance of who we are and what we do as the church, and forces us to reconsider how we do community, and then what the community is meant to do. That if we can only do Christology in the context of that faith community, then that kind of gives us our marching orders. And so discerning who in the midst of our faith community becomes the more important job than creating some sort of an emotional event on a week-by-week basis. The second thing that stands out to me is that Christ is personally present. In his work, Dean points out that modernity is the erosion of belief in Jesus' presence. Instead, he has become to be understood as an influence, a value, or a power. Bonhoeffer recovers the significance of the resurrection, the ascension, and the exaltation of Christ, the sitting at the right hand of God. That Jesus is in fact personally present to the church today because of those things. He is not absent, he is present. Hauerwas affirms this in his work, Jesus, Presence of the Peaceable Kingdom, where he says that Jesus is more than just a moral example. More, Bonhoeffer says that we can't try to think of Christ as him in himself, because that then becomes an abstract concept. Rather, we can only think of Christ as his being for me. Bonhoeffer goes on to say that this leads to the question, in what form is Jesus present for me? And it goes with the answer, he is present in his person to churches as word, sacrament, and the church community. This is not, however, the how question, snuck in different cloak. That remains out of bounds for Bonhoeffer. And he maintains that the mystery of Jesus being present as word, sacrament, and community. So while he affirms that Jesus is personally present in those things, he does not try to work out how exactly he is present in those things, affirming the church's stance that these things remain mystery that we continue to explore and contemplate. Again, this is important to church today and the way we think about things, because Jesus has largely become absent in the church. Where he is remembered, It is usually in a marginal way and in a utilitarian way. That is, that Jesus saves me. But he has really become emptied in terms of word, sacrament, and community. These things have become representations either of the historical affirmation that Jesus died and rose again, or they look forward to a time where he might come again, or they just simply remain absent. And we see this in the push for baptism becoming more and more unnecessary, the Eucharist becoming less and less sensible and the center of what it is that we do in favor of things particularly like music, which seems to have more of a results orientation. Our language becomes more and more generically about God rather about Jesus, particularly in the attractional church movement, where the idea is that we have to begin to strip ourselves away of some of the faith language. It's become jargon that stands in the way, and we try and reduce the our message to the lowest common denominator. But of course, this will not do for an understanding of an empowered community to give witness to the reality of the good news of Jesus, that he is actually present to us. And so one of the things that we're going to need to do in our contemporary church is recapture what Bonhoeffer, Haarwas, and Dean are doing to insist that Jesus actually is present to us in an ongoing and very real way. He is not an absentee landlord and then simply absentee. Jesus is, in fact, present to us in sacrament and word and in the church community itself. I'll talk a little more about that third one in a minute. Third, Christology makes discipleship necessary. For Bonhoeffer, an important aspect of Christology is that Jesus is the incognito God in sinful human flesh, and it never loses that aspect. That sinful human flesh is never pulled back to reveal God behind that flesh. Bonhoeffer says this is necessary so that we actually have true conversion. Even in the resurrection, ascension, and exaltation, the incognito is not lost. Those things become ambiguous because we have a handful of these disciples who witness them and bear witness to them. But we have them as secondary witness. We don't see the event ourselves, and so we still have to take it by faith. Bonhoeffer insists that if we don't, if somehow Jesus in his doing of miracles or in the resurrection, ascension, and exaltation, that sinful human flesh is pulled away, then all we do is assent to what we see rather than conversion. So Jesus remains the God-man who is humiliated in this unrecognizableness. And so he remains center to all things, says Dean, but he remains the hidden center. Of course, an important implication of this is that those who are converted must themselves go the way of the humiliated one. That we confess this incognito, humiliated man of sorrows as Lord. And so by accepting that, by taking him as Lord in faith, we too share in his humiliation, and we see that in this day and age as our affirmation of faith often is ridiculous. And we don't need to look too far this day and age to see how Christianity is perceived. Haarwas sharpens the challenge to the modern day person by saying that the real problem of the incarnation is not intellectual but moral. We refuse to leave ourselves and enter into the life of the crucified Christ. To be a friend of God means walking in the way of Jesus, namely the cross. So just as the first church, we venerate the cross of Jesus as the tool of our salvation, but then we disdain the cross as the necessary pattern of our lives. So we like to have this focus on our salvation through the cross of Jesus, and we often hear that, but we fail to recognize that that necessitates a taking up of our own cross, sharing in that humiliation. And so in one way we highlight the cross, and another way we downplay the role of the cross. Instead, we push the cross to the margins of our sight, and instead we seek to make God relevant by having him bless our own wishes, our hopes, and our desires for the good life as designed by the world or defined by the world. So again, we need to recapture this Jesus as center of our faith as shorthand for the larger good news that includes cross and resurrection, which pushes us to a necessary discipleship rather than ticking off a box that says we are Christians and then making discipleship something that might be voluntary or not. We have to understand that to be Jesus' followers means to go the way that he has gone, the way of the cross. In this way, we can truly be the presence of Christ in the world, which moves me to the final point, that church is the ongoing presence of Christ, the mission of God. So Bonhoeffer says that church is the body of Christ. It is the revelation of word of God. This concern that Christ and church are conflated, he stands over the church. Christ stands over the church, but his presence is incarnated in his people. Harold Wass says this: Jesus is not a universally significant figure because he is the embodiment of a universal principle or ethic. Rather, Jesus is universally significant because through the witness of the community that lives according to his particular story, all are invited to become his disciples. So our community, as we're discipled, as we live out his story, we become witness. His life is actually incarnated in us in a way that draws others and invites others into that life, into discipleship. This witness, this revelation of the church is done through discipleship of the cross. And this makes the church a counter model to the world, revealing the world's nature to itself and inviting it to become part of the alternative community. Christ does the work only he could do. It is finished, he says on the cross. Yet there is an ongoing role given to the church as witness to the world, embodied in word and deed. Again, this leads to the necessary role of the community versus the secondary or incidental role. So just as the community is necessary to know Christ, the community is actually necessary to incarnate or be the witness of Christ. Again, it's not just individual one-to-one witness. So once more, we are called to take on this more robust Christology, a Christology that makes Jesus necessary for all things. He really permeates everything. And again, that shorthand for his cross, which pushes us as a community to take on discipleship. And it's for the sake of the world. It's for the sake of our collective witness that Jesus is in fact present in a way that transforms and invites the world to become the church and keeps the two distinct. So we need to reverse our contemporary impulse to be like the world in order to attract the world. And here I love Hauerwas, that the first task of the church is to be the church in order for the world to be the world. Well, this has been a fairly whirlwind summary of Rob's chapter. It's a great chapter, and I recommend both it and the book as a whole to everyone. It's fairly comprehensive, And so I really don't want to recommend any new directions as well. Rob covers a lot in the other chapters. If there's one area that I would see as needing to be fleshed out, or he sort of sets things up, new directions that he could go for another chapter and another edition of the book, would be around really talking about Bonhoeffer and Hauerwas, how Christ is the shape of natural theology, or how he is the center of the creation, of all of creation, how he's the center and the boundaries. How does that get worked out? Rob, you touch on it a little bit in the chapter, and I can't remember if you touch more on it in the rest of the book. But that would be a big question for me, is if Christ is present in the church as word, sacrament, and as a community, and then I assume he's present in the world through the witness of the church or as the church, is he also present beyond the church in a natural theology kind of way? So, Rob, thanks again for allowing me to read this chapter and to make these comments, and I'm so proud of you. Congratulations on your book. Peace.